It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast, where one half of the show is planning their retirement. My name's Joey. That's Len. Beautiful day in southwestern Ontario today, Len. I took the family for a walk at about 4:15. Outstanding. Nice 13-degree, crisp, sunny, no wind, nice blue sky. Beautiful day. Oof. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
That's brutal temperatures for this time of year. I'll give you some ideas. In Rome, typically the high in the dead of winter, we're talking late December, early January, we'll get to 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah.
So this is a winter day, except a lot more sun right now. So this is pathetic for what we should be experiencing. Yesterday was gorgeous, Joey. Today, not so much.
I'm a little disappointed. I was saying to my wife today that I went to physiotherapy this morning. Normally, I just wear shorts and a t-shirt when I can swing it because I'm an active participant in my physiotherapy sessions. I walked outside in shorts and a t-shirt today. It was freezing. It was like 8 degrees this morning when I left the house. Yeah, so I had to come back and get a jacket. Yeah, sad state of affairs out there. But anyway, yeah, it was a good day. I'm looking forward to the summer. I hear next week is going to be nice, right? Is that the case?
It is going to, but it's still May. Like, where is this good weather? I have a fig tree that's waiting to really blossom. It's just stuck in this holding pattern because the weather hasn't been all that great. It's going to impact my fig production this year. If my fig production gets ruined, that's ruining my fall. Like my mood for months is going to be in the tank. So just be ready. A lot of
my wife and I made burgers for dinner. So I'm starting my summer unofficially, regardless of what the weather has in store. Let's get into it here. So we're going to get to the quote from last week. I can't believe someone got this. I feel like I knew this quote when I read it, but I couldn't put a name on it for sure. But somebody did. The last quote, or last week's quote, I should say, I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing. That was from Ronald Reagan. Veronica got it right. Well done, Veronica. This week's quote, Len, if you want total security, go to prison. There. You're fed, clothed, given medical care, and so on. The only thing lacking is freedom. If you know who that was by, put it in the comments. No Googling. You can only refer to magazines that have been under your bed since 1988. And if you know the answer, put it in the comments. You get your next round of renewals on Easy.
What if DNS. It's a Pete Rose comment? So the magazine from 1988 would still be applicable.
RIP, the true great one. The true great one. Hall of Fame? Yeah? No? What do you think? Does he deserve it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
He's done enough for the game.
Agreed.
I think he played
some
hard.
Of those videos that I think you shared with me about how, like, him giving hitting advice.
Oh, incredible. My God. Even like as a 70-year-old dude.
Yeah.
He lived and breathed the game. You know, you would talk to him he would be interviewed and people would talk to him and ask him about like, what do you think of this pitcher? And he'd bring up statistics, how he hit lifetime versus that guy. Like, he remembered these things.
That's a true competitor, right? Like, that's, you know, hard to replicate that.
And he lived and breathed baseball. He loved it to his dying breath. And yeah, it's too bad he never got to see Cooperstown. But
yeah,
you know, he did screw up. He did screw up royally, but still, he played well. He
is what
played
it is. Hard. We got some fun stories tonight. I think a first time appearance for one company as Pinterest made.
I don't think so. I think
Pinterest, like,
one.
Truly stay-at-home mom level stuff, like pinning recipes and home decor ideas, along with things that'll give your husband nightmares on weekends, to an app where you can't really do anything except browse other people's pinned interests. Like, very strange app, this Pinterest thing. But I don't think I've ever talked about it before, so this is going to be a fun one.
It reminds me, I mean, in my point of view, it's like LinkedIn. It's this area I have never delved in. I know it exists. I know it's really popular, but each of the two of the platforms I do not participate in. So like, I kind of view them in the same light, even though they're not even the same. So we'll leave it at that.
If by the same, do you mean the people on Pinterest also have 15-year-old outdated photos to make themselves look younger in their profile, like on LinkedIn?
Or do they do that in Pinterest?
LinkedIn they do for sure. I don't know about Pinterest or not, but yeah.
LinkedIn,
people have graduation photos. They're 50 years old. You know, that's not what you look like anymore. You can dream, but
we got to hire that young buck. That's a lot of energy. That's going to take over the sales division in the next 10 years. Right? We have some aspirations here with this guy. This photo looks pretty darn good. Let's hire him. Joey, let's talk about this telemessage stuff. You ever hear of telemessage before?
I haven't. Although I sort of like reading the article, a signal clone is not what I would call this. But anyway, we'll talk about that maybe in the commentary. I just want to, you know, point out that I also have not heard of it. You are correct in that assumption.
Yeah. Well, it's an Israeli company and it's providing a modified version of messaging apps like that. You were mentioning like that signal clone for messages for the government, archive messages for the government, and also for business use. And they had a very severe data breach this past week. And there was a hack that exposed the archive messages, such as the contact information for government officials, the login credentials. And so people from like the customs and border protection were impacted. People working at Coinbase, Joey, were impacted.
Surprise.
Scotiabank people were impacted. Scotiabank, eh? Hmm. Anyways, they exploited the vulnerabilities in the system and they were gaining access in a short amount of time and reported 15 to 30 minutes. And through that, they were able to get the unencrypted, the not encrypted end-to-end stuff that's were on the archive chat.
Len, just stop talking now. I mean, what are we doing here with these apps? What are we doing? Our greatest ally, again, by the way, involved in a story about data breach. Like, this is nuts. Why would you ever use these apps? What is the point of using an app like this?
Somebody above must have told them. Israeli company. So maybe they have some sort of involvement.
There's an app that was they were told 4,000 years ago they, you know, need to use it. Is that that might be a bridge? it's wild to me that this country is involved in all this hacking stuff and data breaching stuff and overreaching stuff, and whether they're selling the hardware and software to do the B&E on your data, or now expecting you to use the apps that are being broken into, being breached. I don't understand why people are going back to this well over and over again. Someone help me understand this. Do you understand this? It's never in the story. No one really knows why they keep going back here. Presumably there are other options for encrypted apps and for spyware, but we just keep going back to this well. It's interesting. You and I are Bitcoiners. We've talked about stuff like SimpleX, Session, all these different encrypted apps that require tiny bits of like micropayments, true micropayments, like pennies, to use them and share data that you really want to be protected. But people still keep going back to stuff like this. And by the way, a signal clone. In the beginning there, we were kind of, you know, half talking about what it means to be a clone. This is clearly not a clone. You know, Signal has not had an issue like this. So, this is, I think, an incorrectly applied term here. Anyway, I know I cut you off here. We didn't finish the story, but go ahead. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. I don't understand.
It's archiving the messages, and that's the problem. Like, yeah. Messages that are end-to-end encrypted shouldn't be archived. Now, when you're talking about, like, just simply, we're going to look in a vacuum, Signal. You can get access to somebody's account, but you won't be able to access their archive messages. You're basically starting anew. And even when you do that, if somehow you do that, it shows that there's a new number or a new phone that's attached to it. So there's a warning that all the users get access to, that they know that there's some sort of small change or big change that happened with the person you're conversing with. So I don't know why it makes no sense why anybody would want to use something that could be potentially breached. And the information that has been taken, like the bank, Scotiabank, is pretty bad because we know what the information's involved. Like it could potentially be people's credit scores, their bank account numbers, their name and stuff like that. But we're talking about the CBP, the Customs and Border Protection, right? Like what sort of information do they have there? When they traveled?
Just all of it. Just all of it basically is what I would say. You know, that's pretty sensitive data. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you're able to track people's movements across countries and maybe form particular habits of where they go, when they go. And if they do that, maybe their home is now not going to be occupied and it's just prime for having their Honda Civic stolen or whatever, right? So like there's so much here that's just wrong. people need to do a better job of protecting their privacy. And not only that, the government's involved. Like, right? Like, what the heck's going on here? Just there's so many red flags here.
It's interesting that these guys, Smarsh, who own Telemessage, guess what other apps and services they provide, Len?
Go ahead.
A range of applications for capturing, archiving, and overseeing digital communications. Are you sitting down? With a focus on compliance and risk management.
They do a good job of all that, by the way.
Very, very, yeah. They're not publicly traded, but if they were, I could, you know, take a guess at what that stock would look like today. So funny. Mobile Capture, Smarsh Cloud Capture, Smarsh Enterprise, Ring Central for Smarsh. Integrates with RingCentral to archive messages, SMS, fax, and voicemail data. That sounds like something you would want. Smarsh for Slack captures data from Slack and integrates it with Smarsh's archiving platform. Definitely
Slack,
no sensitive data there.
About that later on too.
It's all bad. Why? Like who is using? Are we at the point now? Not to drag this story on. It's been 10 minutes, but are we at the point now where you should just not be messaging people on any app, anything sensitive? Like you have to meet them in an alleyway, underneath a an aluminum foil tent or something to make sure that the information that you share is not captured. Like where are we here? We're close to that. Are we not? We're a lot closer than we were 3 years ago, for sure.
What are they going to take from us if we meet up together and start talking about Bitcoin? Well, that guy likes Bitcoin. That guy also likes Bitcoin. They must be against the state.
I don't know.
Well, let's talk about this Venom Spider Group. You know, I'm going to have to give this 3 stars.
Why? This gets 3 stars, Venom Spider.
I like that. I don't know why. I just like the Venom Spider. That sounds pretty good. It's not a play on anything. It's very original, I think. And yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I got to tell you, this really makes me question whether or not you're a man of culture. I'm giving it a 0. I'm giving it a 0.
Have you not seen the wonderful shorts I sport in the summertime? Like, those are classy shorts.
You are. But. You love a good dazzle short. I'll give you that.
Freaking right I do. And if it was just a few degrees warmer, are you busting them out outside? So this group here, they've been targeting. This is a doozy of a story.
Oh, yeah.
The HR personnel out there and with phishing emails, and it's disguised as job applications. And what they do, they send emails with links to external sites that require a CAPTCHA completion. And once completed, the victim receives a zip file disguised as a resume. The zip contains malicious Windows link and .lnk. And when executed, it runs a batch script. And then,
What's the backdoor called? What's the backdoor called? Did you see?
I know it executes the more eggs malware.
More eggs. Now that is a 5 out of 5. What'd you get? Oh, my computer's infected. Oh, you got more eggs. That's terrible. 5 out of 5. That's a good one.
See, the spider just laid some eggs, right? And it harvests some information, such as, you know, like the complex user stuff. Like it's just trying to harvest this. And they're financially motivated, apparently, this Venom Spider Group. And they have historically targeted e-commerce sites and payment portals. And now they're targeting HR and job hunting services like LinkedIn. And the campaign, they're saying it could compromise a lot of things out there, including sensitive employee data, and provide a backdoor. Because let's be honest, HR has a lot of information available to them.
By the way, people that may not even be employed at that company, right? If you're applying for jobs, or you're a reference for a job, or whatever, you know, your data is probably out there a lot of places you may not realize.
And the only thing that's kind of, they're wondering what the heck's going on, if they do it in Canada, 99 out of 100 applicants appear to be coming from one part of the world. Mm-hmm. So they're wondering, well, is this a very reflective of the nation, or just a reflective of people coming to Canada? Organizations are saying out there, they got to train their employees better. Let's be honest. You get a zip file and it has something that's not .word. If it's something else, like, be honest, don't click it. But when you're at work, you're busy, you're just trying to recruit people, you probably don't give a rat's ass, but this is what happens in the end. You get pwned.
Okay, there's 2 things I want to point out about this story. I'll just read from the article. I think this is pretty, these guys are sophisticated. This is like an in-depth, probably tedious, laborious operation from 2019. Venom Spider has been active for several years, with activities dating at least as far back as the late 2010s. Proofpoint published research in early 2019 detailing how the More Eggs backdoor was used as far back as mid-2018. Now listen to this. In that campaign, Venom Spider posted fake jobs and contacted users through LinkedIn's direct messaging service.
the threat actor would distribute payloads via fake staffing websites, as well as malicious attachments. That's a lot of work. That would probably look really legit if you were a staffing person, just spending all day bombarded by these processes, these websites, all that stuff. So kudos to these guys for taking the time. The second part is about this activity, again, from the article on dark reading. The zip file instead contains, they're talking about the emails you get. The zip file instead contains an email or contains a g.jpg image file, a quote distraction, according to Arctic Wolf, that's the privacy or security research firm, as well as a malicious Windows shortcut or .inc file, or .lnk file, excuse me. That acts as the payload for the first stage of the attack. I want to note something here. When I get emails, one thing I cannot figure out why these services have not made a change on this yet. When you get an email with a logo, Len, do you ever see the logo in an email signature as a photo attachment?
It's embedded in it.
Happens to me all the time on Gmail. You get an email and either the signature is, you know, it's like misapplied somehow, or that JPEG is like floating somehow.
Really?
And
it's not embedded in it, the actual body?
Not every time. And so Google, and I'm sure other services do this too. I don't know if my like work Outlook does it or not, but the service will read it as an attachment. And so you end up getting sort of desensitized to these emails that have attachment after attachment after attachment. And you find yourself, I'm guilty of this, if you're receiving pictures, you're clicking on the attachments, and one of them is usually the email signature photo. Now, if you got something that was malicious, you might get caught on something like that. I just wonder why like Google and other email providers have not found a remedy to this yet. Because it seems to me like this is probably easy to do, especially with AI. Like AI could interpret whether or not something is meant to be embedded as part of a signature, a logo, or an anniversary insignia or whatever. But they don't. They just let it stay as an attachment to the email. And in my view, after reading this story especially, that's a risk. And it's something that could be easily mitigated, but they don't seem to be interested in doing so.
The remedy for this is if you get something like that and you're going to be opening it, forward it to your work and let them deal with it. Right, just click stuff like crazy.
Forward it to your telemessage and then open it there. And
it'll be archived forever, but for some. Okay, this next story is rather short because this guy, Ryan Mitchell Kramer, not Cosmo, this guy's from California, and he pleaded guilty. This is a good one to hacking Disney back in 2024. He used malicious AI art application, which he posted online, to steal credentials from Disney employees' personal computers. It's allowed him to gain access to thousands of internal Slack channels, Slack, and download 1.1 terabytes of sensitive information, including 44 million messages. That's a lot of messages. Hopefully he's not the one that's sending and receiving. It's just a combined version of all the messages within the company. Also, there's private customer details and employees' passport data. The last two are the worst, because what could be done with that is a heck of a lot. And so Kramer initially posed himself as a fictitious Russian activist group named Null Bulge. I can't stand this name. Null,
that's a 5 out of 5. Null Bulge.
Null Bulge. It's almost, you can't even say it. Null.
I mean, come bulge. On. This is when you go to your doctor and try and get a Cialis prescription, right? When you got a null bulge, is that? I think that's about right.
If it doesn't sound Latin, it doesn't sound real to me. So Null Bulge sounds like a totally made-up name.
Okay.
So he did this with the attempt to extort the employees that he was able to get access to. And when that failed, he then released the stolen data on multiple platforms. And Disney has stopped using Slack for in-house communication due to this breach. Slack.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't talked much of Slack in the past, but Slack really isn't the problem here. It's really just the employees that... They were clicking on stuff, and the art application, it worked. The art, they were able to, you know, get owned by that. What was the art? I want to see the art.
Me too. I wonder sometimes. Okay, we'll veer off course a little bit here. I have an Instagram account, and my Instagram account's algorithm is very tightly tailored to what it thinks I will want to look at. And it's actually so tightly tailored to what it thinks I want to look at that it doesn't feed me content that I like. It doesn't feed me a lot of stuff about fitness anymore. I used to have like a lot of like Achilles injury stuff and rehab stuff. You know what it feeds me now, Len?
Bitcoin?
No. I never look at Bitcoin stuff in my personal account. It feeds me stuff where the content is so cringe that it knows I will go right to the comments section to see what people are saying about it. And one thing I keep finding is stuff where people are fighting at Disney. People are overweight Disney park riders, Disney cruise enthusiasts, Disney adults, I think is the term people use. I'm sure that's the term people use for, like, you know, 30 plus people who go to Disney regularly multiple times a year. These are some of the cringiest people on earth. Mr. Noel Bulge, if you're listening, when you get out, I would love to see those messages, because I am sure that that is some of the worst content the planet has ever seen, especially if you got a terabyte of it. I cannot imagine what is written in employee messages from a Disney park or a Disney corporation. I would love to see that, because these people are like, the park guests are the worst of the worst, and the people who work there are probably not working there because they love Cinderella. And so those two things together, that's probably A++ content. I would love to see that message history.
You ever go there before?
I've been to Disney World once. I went when I was in... Oh, I've been twice, actually. I went in grade 6 with my parents and my brother. It was a great trip. And then I went again to play basketball at Disney World in like a U.S. tournament when I was in grade 12 here in Canada. Yeah.
So you're two up on me. I've never been and I will never go.
The Disney experience when you're in grade 12 is a lot better, let me tell you. That was, by the way, back when convenience stores in the U.S. were selling something called Bacardi 151, 75 proof rum. And you can imagine what, 13 testosterone-filled 17-year-olds are like splitting a 40 of 151 rum walking around a theme park. It was a good time. I'll say that much.
Would you imagine how much that costs now? No, I'm talking about the Bacardi rum.
Oh, the park. Yeah. I think when we went, there was something called the Hopper Pass. It may still exist, but I would guess now, like, a trip for a week for a family of four. Is it 5,000, you think?
I can't even imagine. And just when you're saying $5,000, holy cow, that's a lot of money.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Family of four for a week. So, and don't you have to get passes for, like, one park or something?
Okay, so the AI result on Google, a Disney World trip for family of four can be a memorable but pricey experience. Budgeting for a 7-night stay could range from what to what? What's your guess? I'm guessing this is US dollars, obviously, as well.
We'll see. 7,500 to 15 grand.
6 to 15. You're pretty close, actually. Wow. 15's a metric ton. Yeah, so that's crazy.
That is extremely expensive. Ugh. This is why that people are not going there. Not only do people don't have money right now, are you going to spend, you know, five figures on a trip like that? You could go on a cruise and get, you know,
cruises
for far less.
Cruises suck too. They suck too.
But it's, you know,
I hate to say it, Len, but you need to go places where you're like pricing out the riffraff. Like, you need to go on like a $4,000 all-inclusive trip for a week or something, 5,000 even. And then people listening to this show will probably be like, that's not expensive. It's expensive enough to keep the riffraff out. I'm one of these people who think you need to like Costco needs to have a dress code and needs to like triple the membership fee. That's where I am in my get off my lawn journey.
Where the riffraff really is, go to like Japan or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Maybe. Yeah.
Right. Like, it's long trip, a little expensive, but
yeah,
you know, you're safe and you could see some really cool stuff over there. They got Mario Land, I believe, over.
I'd like to go at some point to Japan. My wife was talking about that the other day, actually. Could be in the cards. We'll see.
It would be nice. You're a Apple user, right?
I'm getting killed on this show every week. I got to tell you, I'm an Apple user. Like, you don't know. We're asking the questions for first-time listeners here. Yes, I am an Apple iPhone user.
Apple AirPlay?
I don't often use it, but I have used it in the past.
Well, there's a set of vulnerabilities. Airborne. 23 vulnerabilities in total have been discovered and impacting the AirPlay, and apparently billions of Apple devices could be impacted. And the hackers that could take advantage here would be able to take control of the devices and potentially steal information on there. And they could also intercept communications, and this could lead to spying and even ransomware attacks. So not much I could say about this, except make sure that your devices are always up to date. And I, you know what? I'm a fan of having my headphones hardwired.
Wow.
I like that. I turn my Bluetooth off, and I like, you know, I don't want any Bluetooth near my brain. I go old school, and it's hard to intercept a hard wire from my phone to my ears, but it's AirPlay and stuff like that, and it's very convenient to like stream stuff like this.
Big time. You know what?
Having
headphones on, Len, with a newborn is a requirement. And I have AirPods Max at the house that were pretty expensive, but I think have been worth it so far. They not only have incredible noise cancellation, but also it's easy to move from like my computer to my phone to my TV to whatever I'm doing, which I often am doing if I'm working on like, you know, stuff for the podcast or playing video games or just listening to music or something else, you know, media wise. Moving from device to device is important and is done generally through Bluetooth or AirPlay. And I'm disappointed to hear this, honestly, because this is a thing that I, you know, some of the other stuff, the Apple stuff is like, yeah, you're the subject of a state attack. You have to put your phone in lockdown mode, whatever. Like there's a solution for it. But this is a bit disappointing because that's something that I use a lot. And although I don't use it in public places, still it's a bit of a letdown. This is something they let slide. And
will it change your habits moving forward?
I am going to buy a Pixel as my next phone for sure. I said
get out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to switch to Pixel. Either a Pixel or a OnePlus, one or the other. I had a OnePlus 7. They're great phones. Chinese spyware. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't do if you're going to do anything, do the Pixel. I can't believe you'd even abandon the Apple ecosystem.
I might. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
If I'm a betting man, I'm betting against that. Put the poly market up and I'll put all my corn on that. Okay, let's talk about the Pinterest.
Love it.
Yeah, we set the table for this story. People are pissed at what's going on because there was a mass account suspensions that took place and pin deletions. And people are, as I said, it's, you know, people are very upset. They were using aggressive AI moderation as the primary cause. And the accounts were being suspended for basically anything. You know,
I love it.
For no reasons. Yeah. And some of the suspensions, even they were saying that curated boards such as arts and professionals who use Pinterest for mood boards and inspiration were impacted. I didn't even know people like that would.
This is a big thing. Like when we had our little one, my wife had an inspo board for her bedroom, right? So like the sort of color palette and all this stuff. This is, you know, I hate to say it. We don't often talk about the differences between the genders on this show, but this is a female coded app. And so I will never understand having a mood board, vision board, inspo board for literally anything. I wear a gray sweatshirt and black pants most days, and I don't plan on changing that anytime soon. I would, you know, I'm not going to propose or purport to speak for Len, I should say, but I'm guessing he's in the same boat. Yeah, I'm guessing he's in the
next
same boat.
Line comes up.
Yeah. So, you know, you may not understand the obsession people have with Pinterest. Certainly, if you're on Pinterest and then also on the Reddit for the Pinterest, like a special kind of obsessed.
Yeah. You're combining the two.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, there's some comments here from the Reddit in the article, but it's just like, you know.
It's just an amalgamation of just
crazy. It's just it. Absolutely like talk about terminally online. This is the combination you're looking for. This is a demented, technologically obsessed cocktail, but at least your color palette are good. Even
thinking of launching a lawsuit because you're saying they may have lost some earnings as a result of all this.
It's possible. I think there's ways probably to get paid on Pinterest. Like if you have a popular Pinterest account and people look at your stuff to put on their own board, then maybe people want to advertise with you and, you know, get their stuff onto your board so that other people see it. This is like when people say the economy is fake, this is what they mean. There's no way this should be worth any money at all. And yet here people are paying for this stuff. And it seems that we're the ones who are left out in the dust, you know, scraping pennies together, doing a podcast. I don't know. Maybe we're the ones in the wrong.
I don't understand why people could even consider launching a lawsuit. They don't own this platform.
I know.
Pinterest. Oh, is it Microsoft that owns Pinterest? Or?
I think they are owned by...
Well, whoever owns it. Well,
that's a good question, actually.
So they could do whatever they want. If they wanted to delete everybody's account but one, they could do that. If they have every right to do so. This is not a decentralized platform in which you are a participant. You are the product, and you are using it for free. And unless people are paying for it and there's something along those lines, then maybe they have some...
Pinterest reported earnings today, by the way. So you have this story. They closed at $27.89 US. They went up 15% after hours on earnings. It looks like.
You know, like this is not the first time they've had some You know, in the past, they've had a data breach, a pretty significant one. 6 million records were leaked, and that was
but like of records address. Of what? Of what? Like emails? Who cares?
Emails, usernames, and IP addresses.
I don't think. I get the feeling, again, like I'm stereotyping here for sure, but I get the feeling that the productive class is not spending a lot of time on Pinterest, you know? Like, I don't know what those emails are worth compared to Slack or whatever.
It's the IP address and the email address that,
yeah,
because then you can tie an address to a particular location almost to pinpoint it directly where they are.
So what, you can go to their house and check out the color palette in their nursery? Like, this is what I'm saying. It's not like a commerce platform. So why?
No. Okay. Well, now you could do some searches online with that email address. You could formulate a pattern in which they do stuff, where they post, how they post, what they like. And then it becomes, Joey, if they know when you're not home, they're able then to target you, come in your house, raid it, and leave before you come home. If they could have some information on you without you knowing and know exactly where you live, that's a very powerful tool. Also, you never know. There could be some ransomware or something that could come up all alongside.
Like, yeah, maybe.
You have no idea like how they're going to. So it's hard to scoff at this. It could be pretty nasty if used in the wrong way or in the right way, depending how you look at it.
Yeah. You're never going to catch me on Pinterest. I don't have to worry about this.
I agree. So, yeah. Again, Pinterest is like the LinkedIn to me. I acknowledge they exist. I just don't cross threshold to use those platforms. Whatever happens on there happens.
That's it.
I ain't there.
That's like the way I look at tent encampments. I acknowledge they exist, but you're never going to see me.
We should do insider interviews over there. Just come in, dress like hobos. I mean, I just dress normally. I can do that. And just talk to people. How did you get in this situation? Would you like to buy Bitcoin? If you don't, here's it.
Would you like to buy some Bitcoin?
Here's my referral code. Check it out. You got in this situation here because of central banks. Let's do something about that.
We're Bitcoin leaving. Len is going to visit the local tent encampment immediately after this.
Is there a big one at Gage Park?
Probably. I haven't been to Gage Park in a long time, but probably.
That's where we're going to hold our meetup, no?
Yeah, the CBP Gage Park meetup at the band shell. We'll have to kick out Tony and the boys there. Tony in the tents. That's what they call themselves.
It'll be a combination. We'll do CBP and the Axis of Easy. We'll do an amalgamation of two different shows, one big meetup, and do it there at Gage Park.
An absolute gong show. Good night, everyone. Take care of yourselves. And until next week, keep your data safe and stay off LinkedIn or Pinterest. LinkedIn Pinterest and Pinterest.
Too. Yeah, both all of that garbage. Take care.